May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pure and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Heavenly Father, our Rock and our salvation. Amen. You may be seated. Well, if you are looking at the bulletin and looking at the sermon outline, you will see it begins with saying, the amazing, awesomely scary Advent challenge. What in the world is the amazing, awesomely scary Advent challenge? Well, it's living up to what that Advent wreath says. It's preparing. The job of the pastor is to prepare people for Christ's coming, to see Christ coming in his birth at Bethlehem, but also to see that he's coming back. And he's going to take us home. And it's the pastor's responsibility to make sure that we see the prophecies and that the prophecies are fulfilled, so that it's not just that we know Jesus was born, that he really is the Savior because he fulfills all the prophecies. And then to wrap that into joy. And the only way you wrap it into joy is by confronting that concept of sin, that we're all sinners and deserve eternal death, but we all have forgiveness through Jesus, and therefore we're filled with joy. And then to be anticipated. Not saying, oh gee, we got it. 3 church services in the next 7 days. I wonder if I can make it to all of them, or maybe I'll just choose 2. Maybe I'll just do 1. Maybe. But to be truly filled with anticipation of, this is it. Savior's born. Salvation. We really are heirs of the kingdom of heaven. And how do you do that as a pastor? Especially as you get to Christmas Day. This was the struggle that Dave Barnes ran into a number of years ago. Dave Barnes is a Christian singer, a songwriter, and as a good Christian, member of a church. And so the pastor came to him and said, Dave, really want to do something special on Christmas. I'd like him to put together a Christmas pageant that's also a Christmas cantata that also has new and original Christmas music. To which he said, okay, that'd be awesome. And then he started to think about it. And he began to freak out because he was just asked to meet that amazing, awesomely scary Advent challenge. Putting together something that would be a production in church, that would have music that brings glory to God, that would tell the true Christmas story, lead people to see Jesus as their Savior. And he realized, my name's on this. And I'm known as a Christian singer and songwriter, and I have to do this in such a way that people truly anticipate Christmas and aren't looking at me or looking at my work, or this is going to be really hard. Because if I'm doing it, they're probably going to come because they think this is going to be a really cool concert. And that is not what Christmas is about. It's not a cool concert. It's not entertainment. It's the message above all messages. And he was scared. How do I do it? And he prayed. And he continued to freak out. And finally he thought, I need to just go for a walk. Go for a walk. Walk around the neighborhood. Look at Christmas lights. And that's what he did. He went for a walk. And as he went for a walk, he came to a house that he had seen many times. A house whose Christmas decorations he had seen many times. But this time, he stopped. And he just looked. Because it was a house that had a nativity scene. And as he looked at this nativity scene, he looked at Mary. You probably know exactly how she looked. You know, the blue shawl, porcelain-looking face, hands folded in peaceful, angelic contemplation before the manger. And of course, there was Jesus, wrapped in a white cloth, smiling, halo around his head. Very content. No need for cuddling. No need for food or a diaper change. No. He's smiling. He's the star attraction. Mom's kneeling down and looking at him. Dad Joseph standing right behind him. Both hands holding the staff. You know, the brown robe, kind of a little yellow fringe around the top. Kind of standing there, looking at the baby, but also just kind of looking in the distance. Kind of vacant eyes. Not like Mary, who's very contemplative. No, Joseph's just kind of standing there more as a side figure. And then there's a wise man. And they are decked out. Perfect, beautiful robes, all three with gold crowns and multiple gems, carrying three golden boxes, which you know, of course, have gold, frankincense, and myrrh in them. And they look royal, regal, and yet proud to be at the nativity. Where on the other side is a young guy in kind of a scrappy-looking cloth thing that's got a lamb around his neck and a couple of sheep following him. And, well, that's the shepherd. He's been out, you know, standing around a campfire. And, well, angels talked, and he came. And as Dave Barnes looked at it, he just felt like, this isn't right. This doesn't meet the amazing, awesomely scary Advent challenge. I don't think it really looked like this. To him, it seemed this was remote, this was untouchable. You can't come close to this. But then he began to think about it. And he began to think, that's kind of the way Christmas has become. With all the decorations, with all the parties, all the songs, the music, the productions, the events, was becoming more and more distant. And he was worried that his concert might even pull it further away. And he prayed, "Oh Lord, what would you have me do?" And it was like at that moment, this lit up voice popped up in his head and said, ask Mary. And he said, ask Mary? Why would I ask Mary? What would Mary say? What would she have to say about this? And as he then started looking at that figurine, he started to really think, what would Mary say if she was standing right here next to me right now, and I was looking at that figurine with the blue shawl, the porcelain-looking face? What would she release? As he thought about that, he said it was like there was Mary's voice in his mind that said, I'll tell you what I'd say. Listen to me. Really listen to me, Dave. That's not what it was like. No. My garment wasn't a pretty blue shawl. Blue was a color of royalty. It was drab. It was faded. It was dusty. We had just traveled here on a donkey. So it smelled, and I smelled, of donkey. But I just gave birth, and it hurt. And it hurt a lot. So my garment isn't just drab and dusty and donkey smelling. It smells like sweat. I just gave birth to a baby. My mom wasn't here. We didn't have a nurse, a doctor. We had a donkey. I was laying on the straw, which, by the way, if you look closely, is in that beautiful donkey-smelling, sweaty, drab, dusty garment. This is not the way it was. My face, I'm a teenager. It's not porcelain. I've got zits. Acne. And my brow is furrowed. My mouth has not come in. The baby is crying. And I don't know what to do. So my eyes are not those beautiful brown eyes. They are red because I have been crying. I am scared. And I've got a baby that an angel told me is the Son of God. And if I mess this up, I'm in trouble. And Dave just kind of stood there. Man, my first Christmas isn't like this nativity at all. And then he looked at Joseph and, oh, what would Joseph say? And immediately, he thought Joseph would say, listen to me. Really, listen to me. I'm not one just standing in the back with vacant eyes. No. My eyes are filled with fire because I am to raise God's only begotten Son. And I know the society we live in right now, he's not going to be real welcome. I know this King Herod, if he hears that a king has been born, he's not going to be happy. Rome is not going to be happy. I am watching. Because you know what? Satan does not want this to come true. Satan knows what was promised in the Garden of Eden. Satan knows that this baby who is, well, he's wet and his diaper's a mess, and he's crying, and he's hungry. This baby is going to grow up and somehow crush Satan. So I am watching. I am watching to see who's coming, who's going to try to stop him. There's these guys from I don't know, they're from the east somewhere. The hirelings of sea, and this little shepherd boy, can I trust him? That's my job. Keep this baby safe, so he can save mankind. I'm a man with a purpose. I've got a place to go. I've got to lead this baby safely there. You know what? We'll make it. We'll make it. That's why I'm wearing brown. It makes me fit in itself. But I will do everything it takes to protect this little baby, this Savior. Then he looked at the baby Jesus, and he realized the baby Jesus wasn't just laying in this manger, in this perfect white little, you know, swaddling cloth and smiling. Some people have his hand up, you know, some he's making, you know, religious symbols and a halo. And no, he was a true man. He was a true baby. Kicking, screaming. He was hungry. He wanted food. And yet, he's the living Word. And if Jesus were right there with him, Dave Barnes thought that maybe Jesus would say, "Listen to my written Word." It's the same message that Isaiah gave to King Ahaz. Ahaz, who was scared. Scared of the northern tribes coming. Scared of other groups coming and attacking. So what did he do? Form an alliance. Form an alliance with his enemies because they got a really good army. And let the enemies protect you instead of trusting in the Lord. Isaiah's message that he gave to Ahaz was, true peace only comes from Emmanuel, from God, God with us. And this is the reason. This is the reason Jesus was born. This is the real scene. A baby born to experience everything that we experience. To experience hurt like we hurt. To experience laughing like we do. To cry like we cry. To skin a knee like we skin a knee. To be let down like we are let down. To have a heart broken as our heart is often broken. This is what this baby was born for. So that one day, when we come face to face with defeat or need, trial, broken heart, we know we can come to him and say, "You know this too. You have experienced at a level that I never would. You can lead me through this. And you know what? You can know he will." You know, Dave Barnes started to walk away from that nativity. He began to think, you know, maybe we have made the manger scene perfect. Because a real picture or representation
might just be a little too uncomfortable for us. To see a baby who's born to die. And you know, this is what made me, caught my attention when I read about Dave Barnes' experience. Because then he related how in a year, the previous year, their church had decided to do a Passover feast. Do it just the way the Jewish people did. Remember what they did when they with the Passover feast? Took a lamb. You brought that lamb into the house with you for 10 days. You fed it, you petted it, you cared for it. But then when the Passover came, you slit its throat, you tied its back legs up, and hoisted it up to the ceiling and drained the blood out. And that's then the meal you were going to have. And, you know, if you went to the temple, that's the blood that would be splattered on you to remind you of your sin. And to make that Passover meal real, what they did was they took that Passover lamb and, well, they put it in a pen right at the opening to the church. So that when people came to church on the Sunday before the Passover feast, they would all see their meal standing there alive. And there were people that were mad. How dare you make us look at that lamb which you're going to kill and feed us? How dare you do that? That's so upsetting. And isn't that the major sin? See, that's when we talk about anticipation. We're not anticipating gathering with the family around a Christmas tree with 900 multicolored LED lights that if we want, we can turn white or have it change colors. It's not about presents and opening them. It's not about sipping eggnog or anything else. It's about looking what's at the center of the Advent. I can't tell you the name of the candle yet because it's not Christmas, but I will say it does represent Jesus. He's at the center of all of it. But what puts him there? What's so significant? That he really was born human, like you and me. He really was hungry, waiting for Mary's milk to come. He really did soil his diapers, just like us. He really did walk this earth. When we look in the Gospels, we see he really had a job. He was a carpenter. We look in Mark chapter 3, we see he did have a home. We see that the people that were supposed to know him and love him, the religious leaders, hated him, chased him. We see that one of his disciples, whom he loved, betrayed him to death. Another denied him 3 times. 10 scattered away from him. 1 followed, but only of distance behind a bunch of women. What do you think his heart felt like? I'd say it was probably broken. I could say he probably felt let down by those religious leaders who were supposed to take God's word and show the people, this is him. In fact, think of the most painful thing you've experienced in your life. And ask yourself, did Jesus experience it? And I bet you'd have to say, yes. But then that we're all here and alive, we haven't experienced what he experienced. Dying for those same people that loved him. Dying for those same people who broke his heart. As we heard in last week's sermon, stretching out his hands and being marked, as Isaiah says, in the palm of his hands, marked by us so that he'll never forget us. That's the message that David Barnes put into his pageant. It was one of our hopelessness, our failings, our sin. And the Savior who loves us so much, he came to die for us. It wasn't a cool concert. It wasn't cool at all. But there wasn't a dry eye in the house. Because he met the amazing, awesomely scary Advent challenge of bringing the real Christmas vision to those who were Jewish. And it's my hope and my prayer that as we wing our way to Christmas, that we may focus on the reality of Christmas, its real message, and that we may give thanks that we have a Savior who knows all the emotions we experience and knows how to carry us through and knows how to teach us how to forgive when those we love or those we hate have let us down. I think it's a message our country and the church itself really needs to focus on this year. In our Savior's name, amen. At this time,